Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text which serves as the basis for this morning's proclamation is the Old Testament reading for today from Genesis 22, the account of Abraham and the offering of his son Isaac. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, when we tell the story of Abraham and Isaac from Genesis 22, we always tell the whole story together, the beginning, the middle, and the end. In the beginning, God tells Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice. In the middle, Isaac, who doesn't know that he's the sacrifice, asks, "Where's the lamb for the sacrifice?" In the end, God provides a ram to be sacrificed instead of Isaac. We've all heard this story many times, and so we always know what's coming. We know how the story ends. So the beginning of the story, it's pretty intense. I mean, God is asking Abraham, telling Abraham, to sacrifice his own son. But we know it will all turn out okay in the end. And the middle of the story is gut-wrenching. But again, we know it will all turn out okay. So when at the beginning of the story, God says to Abraham, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering," you don't dwell on the horror of that command, on the impossibility of that command from God. You can just say to yourself, "Well, I know how the story ends. Isaac will not be sacrificed. God will provide a lamb. Everything will turn out fine." And when in the middle of the story, Isaac says to Abraham, "My father, we've got fire and wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" You don't dwell on poor Isaac, who has no idea what he's getting into. You don't have to wonder, when did he figure out what was really going on? Those are hard things. So just skip to the end, where you know that Isaac will not be sacrificed. God will provide a lamb. So we know the rest of the story. We know how it all turns out, which makes the hard beginning and the difficult middle easier to get through. We just keep our focus on the good ending. Everything will turn out fine in the end. Now, how about your story? The story of your life. The story of your marriage, the story of your career. Are you right now in the hard beginning of the story? Are you in the difficult middle of the story? Are you wondering how the story is going to end? Because when it comes to our stories, we don't have the benefit of knowing ahead of time how it's all going to turn out, or whether it will turn out good or bad. You're right there in the middle with no clear answers, wondering where this is all headed. Like Abraham, we are all called to obey God. And as you carry out that obedience, you don't know how it will turn out. God might say, "Do this thing," even though you don't understand why. God says, "Obey me," even when everyone around you is doing their own thing and ignoring God altogether. God says, "Obey me," even when it comes at great cost. And while you're in the middle of that obedience, you don't have the benefit of knowing the end of the story, how it will all turn out. And like Isaac, you and I, we are called upon by God to trust, as in trust God, even when we don't understand where this is going or how we'll get there. Trust God, even when everyone around you is trusting in other things. Trust God, even when all you can see is just the tiniest slice of the picture, which maybe doesn't look all that promising right now, and you don't have the benefit of knowing whether or how or when it will turn out. Much of life is living in the beginning or the middle of the story without knowing exactly how the ending will turn out. We don't know how or when, or even whether God is going to resolve this. This can make for some long days and sleepless nights. There's a prayer in the hymnal that I mentioned to you, you probably forgot, back in Advent, before Christmas. It's on, and this prayer speaks to this uncertainty. It's on page 311. You can look it up if you want, but you don't have to. It was written by Reverend Eric Milner White in London at the beginning of World War II, when things in London at the beginning of World War II were looking pretty bleak. London was being bombed every night. It appeared that the Nazis had the upper hand. People truly did not know how the war was going to go, how that particular story was going to end. And into this uncertainty, Reverend White wrote this prayer, which says, "Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. Give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is leading us and your love supporting us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen." Notice that in that prayer there are no promises of earthly victory. Nothing that says everything will turn out fine in the end. It is simply a request for faith to obey and to trust in God no matter what happens. Now, many times in life, by God's grace and mercy, we are granted a good ending. The sickness is cured. The relationship is restored. The provision comes through, whatever it was that you needed and asked for. When that happens, we praise and thank God for his kindness. Psalm 118, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever." But there will be other times in life when, for reasons known only to God, the ending of the story will not be what you wanted, what you prayed for. You prayed for a certain outcome, and that outcome never came. And you might wonder at those times, why did God provide for Abraham and not for me? Why did God rescue Isaac but not me? And that's when we need to remember that these earthly endings are not really the end. God's overall plan goes on. When you or I experience setback or losses or disappointments, God's overall plan goes on. When you or I experience wonderful joys and thanksgivings, it may look like things ended badly. It may look like things ended very well. But either way, the story isn't yet finished. Genesis 22 has a good ending. The angel of the Lord shows up and provides a ram for the sacrifice, but the story isn't finished. Let me pause here and point out a detail in Genesis 22 that you might have missed. That mountain that Abraham and Isaac traveled to for the sacrifice, Genesis 22 verse 2 says it was in the land of Moriah. Moriah is mentioned in only one other place in the whole Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 3 verse 1, which tells us that King Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem on Mount Moriah. Same spot. Which means that the story of Abraham and Isaac didn't end with the ram being provided as a substitute. God had something even greater in mind. In that same location, perhaps even on that exact same mountain, God would provide another lamb, Jesus, his own son, who would be laid on the wood of the cross as a sacrifice for the sins of the world. As it says in Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And in fact, that's exactly what God has done. He has given us all things in Christ. On the third day, Jesus rose again in victory over sin and death and hell. And by faith in Christ, you have that same victory, that same life, that same freedom. Sometimes in this life, you will not get the ending that you were looking for. Your situation, your story may not be blessed with a nice, neat resolution like you get in Genesis 22, but there is always more to the story. God so loved the world that he gave his only son. God gave what Abraham ended up not having to give, so that whoever believes in him, in Jesus, shall not perish but have eternal life. Christian faith, therefore, includes obedience to God, and it includes trust in God, but it also includes hope. Hope in the victory that Jesus, the Lamb of God, won for us on Mount Calvary in the land of Moriah. Hope that knows that one day God in Christ will restore all things. Hope that knows that there will come a day when Jesus will make all things new, and you'll know the joy of victory. And you'll see your loved ones again who died in the faith. And you'll no longer experience fear or worry or hunger or thirst or any of the other consequences of sin that we endure in this broken world. As Jesus said in John 14, I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. So, everything else that happens in life, good or bad, we interpret in the light of that promise, that ending that is yet to come. We live in hope, and that hope will not disappoint. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.